Be'ezus Hashem, we are now beginning our Parsha class, Parsha and Parshas Nitzavim, and tonight is actually the 24th Chav Dalad Elul Tav Shin Ayin Tes, corresponding with the English calendar. It's September 23rd, 2019. Parshas Nitzavim always falls out before Rosh Hashanah. It falls out before Rosh Hashanah and presents to us a very, very powerful message. Parshas Nitzavim is also a parsha that prepares us for Rosh Hashanah. It prepares us in thought and indeed how we're going to approach Rosh Hashanah. In a way, it's a continuation of the theme of last week, where last week we spoke about Hachana, how the month of Elul is the month of preparation. And Parshas Nitzavim continues, in a sense, that theme and brings you to become aware that it's just not a personal Hachana, a personal preparation, but it's a preparation that actually involves the entire Jewish people, or no less, the entire world, in the way you prepare and you react to the preparation for the Yom Hadin. We're going to begin on page 1086 in the Arskol Chumash, and we may flip over a little bit to another pasuk, but let's begin with Parshas Nitzavim, pasuk Tes, it's in Perikov Tes, page again 1086. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You are all standing today together, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, before Hashem your God, Roshechem, your head, Roshechem Shivtechem, the heads of your Shvatim, Ziknechem, your elders, Vishaitrechem, and your law offices, Kol Ish Yisrael, all of the Jewish people, Tabchem, your young children, Nishechem, your wives, Vigercha, and your converts, Asher Bekev Machanecha, among your camp, Mechet Chotev Eitzecha Ad Shoev Memecha, from the woodcutters to the water jars, La'avrucha Bevis Hashem Alekecha, to help you pass in the bris, to accept the covenant of Hashem, your God, and its curses, which Hashem, your God, is cutting with you today. Laman, in order, why is he doing this? Laman hokim oiska hayom lo la'am, in order to establish you two today as a nation, and he will be for you for God, kashedibir loch, like he has spoken to you, and as he has sworn to your fathers, at your forefathers, to Avraham, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. And then one other pasuk which I would like to add, and that's a very powerful pasuk. Not you only am I making the bris, but I really add the next pasuk. Not only those which are here today, even those which are not here today, meaning the future generations, which means essentially to you and I here, many, many generations later. This parasha was said on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And the rest of Parsha of the Sefer Devarim is the last day of his life. Parshas Nitzavim begins, Rashi says this, Parshas Nitzavim was Yom Moshe, and he brought him into the covenant to accept the mitzvahs. And when Hashem says to bring you into this covenant, v'hu yiyeh lecha le'elokim, it'll be for you for a God, means for a protector. And there is a deal, there is an arrangement, a bond between the Jewish people and Hashem, which is inseparable, that you do the mitzvahs, I will be your God, I will protect you, I will be there. Parshas Nitzavim continues on with this kind of statement and ends off with a very the statement where Moshe Rabbeinu, let's turn to page 1090. All right, a very powerful pasuk which I'm going to dwell on. I'm going to be dwelling on this pasuk for most of the evening. And the pasuk is at the top of 1090. Hanistarois Lashem Alekenu, the hidden things belong to Hashem, our God. V'haniglo islanu uvenenu ad olam, and those which are revealed and public, that responsibility is for us and for our children forever. La'asos es kol divrei haTorah hazos, to do all the words of this Torah. Now that pasuk is the pasuk called of Arevus. Arevus means the responsibility, the expectation that Hashem has of the Jewish people. Again, Hashem says, Hanistara is the hidden things you're not responsible. Things that you don't know of, things that are in the hearts of men, this is not your responsibility. But Hanistarais is only to Hashem. But Hanigrais, those things which are revealed, which are known, which are public, which are visible to all of you, then it's your responsibility. This is called the Parsha of Arevus, the Parsha of responsibility, where the Jewish people become responsible one for the other. To make it a little clearer, to bring out the point even clearer, there is a very powerful Sefer. There is a Sefer. I'm quoting the Sefer Chassidim. I want to mention something in the Sefer of Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, and which I'm going to be quoting him soon, brings out that the Jewish people is like one body, all one neshama, all connected, and when one does a mitzvah, it enhances the entire body. And when one does an aveira, it harms that body. And we're all affected. This is all part and parcel. And I'm going to go through a Medrash Tanchuma that's going to develop this even more. And we want to talk about this because the Parsha of Arevus is the Parsha that works in the positive and in the negative. In the positive, we all do mitzvahs and we affect each other. We make kiddush, one person says a bracha, everyone gets the mitzvah by answering amen. Rabbi blows the shofar and all of the congregants are included in the bracha and they get the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Arevus is throughout the Kol HaTorah Kula. If a Jew goes to an extreme, if a Jew has made a bracha, but another Jew would like to make a bracha, but he doesn't know how to make a bracha, you can make the bracha with him or for him, even though that you fulfill the mitzvah, because he is part of you, and you are part of him. And therefore, if a person, let's say, doesn't know how to make a bracha, doesn't know how to bench. Let's take a good example. You know how to bench on your meal. Someone else doesn't. So, and you benched already. The mitzvah upon the other person still is intact. It still is. It's not bracha levatala. The other person doesn't know how, and he wants to bench. There is not revus. There is a connection. There is a camaraderie to each other, and you're part of that. I'm going to quote from the Sefer Mishnas Rabbi Aaron Kotler Zitzal. He quotes a Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Nitzavim. Listen to it outside. I'll explain it. The parasha in Medrash says, "Atim yisavim hayom kulchem. You are all standing today. Kulchem areivim zeh bazeh. All of you are responsible. Are joined one with the other. Afilu sadik echad beinechem." If there's one tzaddik in among you, then all of you survive and exist because of him. But not just all of you Jews, the entire world exists because of the tzaddik. Shenema, he brings out a pasuk, the tzaddik yisod olam. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. And when a person sins, then kol hador loker. Then again, is the world, the generation also suffers. And he brings on various information on this, and I'd like to quote you something important. He says, "Okay, what do we learn now from this medrash of Atim Nitzavim? Not just a thing that it talks about just the negative, but it also talks about the positive of you are combining one with the other. The Efshed HaKlal Kula Yamei B'Schusei Shel Echad. It's possible the entire generation, the entire community stand and exist because of one person's mitzvah. U'be'emes be'in this tzadik yisod olam. Like I mentioned before, U'sha ha'olam kula yochel iskayim b'glal tzadik echad. And it's possible that the world exists because of one tzadik. There is another aspect to it. Not only that it exists, but it's worthwhile that the world exists because of that one person. That's the meaning that the world exists because of him. Because the world has a purpose, and if we have a tzaddik and he's fulfilling his purpose, he's giving the world its purpose. And therefore, it's fitting over ruyul iskayim b'kaval hatzadik. Now, but also, it's on the negative. It's also possible that the world could be punished also because of one. That's also because of the concept of arevus. We're all together. We're all one. As it's brought down. Kulchem areivim zeh bazeh. So that's point number one. The second thing is, like I mentioned before, is that the neshamas are all attached. Now, you know, you are familiar with this ashamnu bagadnu, we say by slichas, right? Maybe you've thought about this, but it's something to ponder. How many times you gazalnu? Stop this. We have stolen. Could you honestly say that you really have stolen? Is it something that you found yourself to be a thief? Right? In a minor way, it could be. Maybe you stole someone's time from working. Maybe you didn't put in the full, you're getting paid a full hour and you only put in 55 minutes of the hour. That could also be translated as stealing. All right. But on the surface, how many averis do you think you can muster up in your mind that you really feel that each one of this on the surface, gazalnu, we misled people and we did this there and that there, yet we all say it and we all clap, you know, ashamnu, boganu, gazalnu,
because somebody but did
the deeper, and that's exactly maybe what I'm saying. And I said before over here that is brought down from the Kadmonim. Actually, what I quoted to you before was from the Talmud Devorah, that the Nishmas Yisrael, and I like to read this from the Talmud Devorah, the Nishmas Yisrael Kululos Yachad, all of the souls of the Jewish people are combined. V'yesh Inyan Shal Ichud V'shaycha Zeh L'Zeh V'nefashis Yisrael. We all are combined. We're all together. V'yesh B'zeh Chelik Zeh. And we all have a part of this Neshama. Right? Umahaitama, for this reason that Savinu Viahaftal Rachukamancha. You should love your neighbor like you like yourself. Because you like yourself, but I'm part of him and he's part of me. Right? This is like is mentioned in Yerushalmi in the Durim. That Ruhu Tam Shal Had Yisrael Arevim Zeh Mishim Mamish Yesh Bechol Echad Chelek Echad Shal Chavevai. We all have a piece of our friend. And when the person therefore sins, Pogim as Atzma, he's really in a way, he is blemishing you. So when you're saying Hashamnu, Boganu, Gazalnu, Dubanu, it might not necessarily in your conscious mind thinking about yourself, but you're really thinking about the Nishmas Yisrael that you are part of. And that Nishmas Yisrael in another place, in another land, all had, may have sinned all of these different attributes that we should have been careful of. And therefore, when we're doing tshuva, we're doing not only for the things that we might consciously be aware of, but we're doing tshuva for the total goof, the whole Jewish soul, that we're all combined and we're all responsible. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. And that the meaning of Arevus is what we all for each other, one for all and all for one. Yes, yes.
I'm going to suggest by this, you're responsible for wrongdoing. So I'm looking at the Holocaust that came to mind, and the way that the Jewish communities in certain areas. I visited Anne Frank's house just recently, and I saw how the history of that Jewish family wasn't very Jewish. So I'm just saying that, is that an explanation for the Holocaust?
You see, when you talk about explanation for a Holocaust, you're talking about a very, very serious and a very, very complicated piece of history that can't be answered with a question and answer like this over Parshas Nitzavim. There is no doubt about it, right? That with investigating the parsha, including the last week's parsha of the Klolos, which had 98 curses, and in Bichukos I had 42 curses, that there is some kind of history that's connected. I am unqualified to answer that question because I didn't study the matter thoroughly enough. I am familiar that Rabbi Avigdor Miller did write a book about the Holocaust that has shaken the Jewish world. It is in print, and you can get it in the Jewish bookstore. This book does go into the very, very horrifying history of how the Jewish people been punished for sins that they have committed, and he makes the correlation quite direct. He talks about the history of him being in Europe at the time and how he was asked to leave Europe as American citizen, so he shouldn't get caught in the conflict of the Holocaust. But he speaks about this subject that you have touched upon right now, and I said, I'm unqualified to speak about it, but if you read that book, it has shaken the Jewish world, because Rabbi Avigdor Miller is unafraid to speak up about anything and about anybody.
I thought we're not allowed to put anybody down in any way.
I'm just saying. Let me finish what I'm saying.
You're not putting anybody.
No,
down.
I'm not putting out.
So Rabbi, you're saying because you did that, that's what happened.
Well, if you're
that's not allowed.
If you're responsible for something,
we're not allowed. We're not allowed to say it.
Excuse me. No? Listen, no. What you have to do.
So you're asking me what, when, and which. You got to read the book and it'll explain that. You understand?
The people. What's the book called?
He's writing it down. He's saying.
I forget the exact name, but I can come back.
Can you get the name?
Okay. Huh? Huh?
Can you? I want to look it up.
I don't remember the name. I don't want to mislead you. I'll get you the name.
So you're responsible. You're not responsible.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Let me finish what I'm saying. You want a qualified answer from an unqualified person. Am I right or wrong? Okay. So it's a subject.
It's a question for the Mashiach.
It's a subject that I am unprepared to answer, but I know someone wrote about it.
I'm not talking about whether somebody's right or not.
He's right.
If you know somebody did something.
Okay, so.
Yeah. You're not allowed to, as a Jew, we're not allowed to say, oh, you know, you're punished because you did that. Hashem punishing you.
Okay, you know.
You understand what I'm saying? You're not allowed to say that.
You are right. So, you are right. But we are. But one of the things we say, Shalach, we say.
That's what, something else.
Listen to me. One of the things we say in the Ashamnu is Kishinu Oyrech. Kishinu Oyrech. We were stiff-necked. And we refused to think that anything that we have done has anything to do with what has happened. Kishinu Oyrech means stiff-necked. In that one, Kishinu Oyrech, to blame is one thing. But to explore and to think, maybe, not only is it right to think of it, you are obligated to think of it. And that, on that we say, Kishinu Oyrech. If you're not aware of the translation, you can take a translation. The Chayyotim explains that clearly. That Kishinu Oyrech means one of the things we clap on the Ashamnu, is we were stiff-necked. We refuse to make a correlation to anything we do to whatever happens. And that is wrong. We believe everything happens by Hashgacha. To say, I am sure that this is a direct cause to this, you need a Navi. You need a prophet, you need the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate to light up and to answer that question. But to say that I have no right to examine my deeds is a crime to yourself. Because the Torah wants us to think of what we're doing. And to walk away saying, I have no right to think, when we clap our Shamnu Bagadnu and we say we clap on the word Kishinu Oref, we refuse to think, so that in itself is a sin. We're getting off topic. I want to just go back to the main subject. This is a continuation of last week, Hachana, preparing for Rosh Hashanah. As I said, Mitzavim is always before Rosh Hashanah. We already touched upon one of the main concepts of Parshas Mitzavim is the concept of Arevus, of camaraderie, responsibility, camaraderie, the expectation that Hashem has of us is in Parshas Mitzavim, and we are expected to follow suit. There is a mashal that is a very popular marshal given, where just to give an idea, what does it mean with all for one and one for all?
Ask the three musketeers.
Here we have, you're in a boat, we're in a boat, listen to this, we're in a boat, I'm giving you a very beautiful marshal, you'll see the correlation. Somebody's in a boat, and he decides, he's on the bottom of the boat, and he has a comfortable spot, he has a seat, and he's enjoying the voyage. And all of a sudden, he takes out of his little bag a hand drill. And he's doing like this with a hand drill when there's a nice, big, thick bit. And he's starting to do this to the bottom of the boat. And people are asking him, sir, what are you doing? You know, And he says, mind your business, I pay for my seat. And he goes ahead and he's starting this drilling on the bottom of the boat. And people are screaming at him, sir, we're in this boat. You know, you're going to join us. Get away, I pay for my seat. And he's continuing on. They start calling the captain. And now water is coming through the hole. And he's going ahead with his drill. And people are shouting at him. And all of a sudden the captain comes down and says, sir, you know what you're doing? This boat is going to sink if you don't stop it. And he says, what do you mean? I paid for my seat. He said, get away. You didn't pay for the boat. You're going to drown us all. You may have paid for your seat, but you didn't pay to take the boat and drown us all. It's true, he paid for the seat. But you have the ability of, a person has the ability of drowning the whole boat with hundreds of people in it. When a person does an aveva, it's like on the bottom of a boat, he's putting a hole. And you can't say to somebody, mind your own business, I'm doing my own thing. No, I pay for my seat, I pay for my thing. Don't mind my business, it's not true. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bo Zeh. We're all together. We're all responsible. And we must take this very, very seriously.
Let's get into today's
material. You all know of the punishment of Aaron HaKohen. I'm just, there are many examples being responsible. I gave you a positive example. You know, you make a kiddush, you make a bracha for everybody, right? Not everybody knows how to make kiddush, not everybody has the wine. Someone blows shofar. I said this before, and everybody's yotzei. This is Arevis. This is everyone's combined, everyone's connected, everyone is included. But you know, it works negative too. Like the Chofetz Chaim brings out, and the Chofetz Chaim Malateri, you know, if you have a partner, right, in the business, right, and each one's responsible, and one partner notices the other partner, he's pocketing the money and not putting it down as a profit. And he puts it in his pocket, and he finally caught him because he noticed how somehow the money doesn't add up from the sales. And he notices one day, he's pocketing the money, he says, what are you doing? You're going to ruin the business. If he wouldn't chastise him for that and cut it out, the business would go under. When a person sees someone doing a veva and he doesn't stop him or at least acknowledge that he's doing something wrong, there's a certain responsibility he takes. Now, Aaron HaKohen, like I'm getting back to what I started off saying, Aaron HaKohen, believe it or not, was punished not to go into Eretz Yisrael. It's a severe punishment. Why? Because he didn't reprimand Moshe Rabbeinu for hitting the stone the first time. He let him hit the stone the second time. And because he did that, it was almost like he approved of him not obeying Hashem's request. And therefore, he himself was admonished. He was not allowed in Eretz Yisrael, just like Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't. And I seen one of the Musa Swarm mentioned that great tzaddikim, people that we don't have any clue in terms of their greatness, how great they are, that they're so beyond us, were also punished severely because they were not up to admonishing the people in their community when they could have, and many people went astray. So it's not something light to consider. It's something very, very important that we are all together. We're all really one. This concept of Arevus, therefore, for the Yom HaDin, for the Day of Judgment, is important for us to consider how we are all considered one. And therefore, if we're preparing for the Yom HaDin, essentially, we're not just preparing for ourselves. We're preparing for the Jewish people. By you making a correction, by you improving a mitzvah, by you trying to take stock of anything you know that needs a little bit more housekeeping, if that would be a simple, casual term. A little bit housekeeping in the Yiddishkeit. whether it's in davening, whether it's in eating, whether it's in kashrus, whether it's in the mitzvahs, such simple mitzvahs like negavas, netil shadayim, tzitzis, whether it's in giving tzedakah, whether it's in davening, whether we're in shul or whether we talk in shul or we're doing things that just are inappropriate, that we know that we could avoid things that are inappropriate. These little things add up. And by making small corrections, we are going to tilt the scale for the Jewish people, not just for ourselves. Not just for ourselves, it's for the Jewish people. So this concept of Arevus, where Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to the Jewish people, was a very very powerful message. That we're all for one. We're all together. We got to do it together. And we got to help each other grow. And we have to help each other strive for greatness. And look at history. Look how communities grew from the unity of small groups that grew and grew. The Kohler community that started with the Seed Project. The same project was the child, brainchild, I think, of Rabbi Ginsburg. He introduced the idea of the seed program, I think, to Torah Mesorah many years ago. What's the seed program? The seed program is you take 10 Jewish males, family men, and put him in another community that doesn't have Torah or doesn't have a flourishing day school, and plant them there and let them grow. Let the community pay their expenses and let them grow. And they're going to have children, and they're going to want kosher food and meat. They're going to want Chalav Yisrael, and they're going to want this kosher product and that kosher product. It's like suddenly it mushrooms into an entire community. I come from a yeshiva that had that kind of concept. They came with 12 students from Cleveland, Wycliffe, Ohio, the Tulsa yeshiva. And they came into Chicago upon protest from the people. They didn't want another yeshiva. Out, we don't need you guys. And they locked the door. You've heard this story from me before. And they locked them out. But they fought tooth and nail. So you have no right to stop us. We want to teach Torah and we'll do it. 12 people. Do you know what that 12 people meant 60 years later? It changed her Chicago and made it a metropolis of Torah. Not just a nice city. It's bustling with Beis Yaakovs and with Kolim and with high schools and with Jewish franchises and bakeries and pizza shops and restaurants and everything Jewish. 12 students. Achtus. That's what it did. Look what Rav Aaron Kotler, the author of the Sefer, he came with a handful of students in Lakewood, New Jersey. He turned over the Yiddishkeit of an entire America, not just Lakewood. His students are everywhere in the world. His students are everywhere in the world. He turned over the Jewish world with Achdus. That's the power of Achdus. So the Torah over here is talking about Arevus, about being combined, working together. Arevus is incredible. The power of Arevus is incredible. Call Yisrael Arevus Zeh Bo Zeh. That's atomic energy. It's nuclear power. You take just one atom. If you know how to split it, you can create an explosion that can destroy a city. And we all know that it happened. This is all part of the parasha of Arevus.
You give me kingship, it's going to get ruined by
Acha. There was once a story.
I'm trying to remember between which person there was a king. My history is not so good, but I'll try to say the story as best as I can. A king was told by those who hated Jewish people that in the Torah calls the Jew is an Adam. Atem kruim Adam. You are called Adam. But the goyim around are not called Adam. The king took offense. How dare you call me not Adam? You're so, what is it, self-centered, so egoistic. Only you think you're another, but we're not. And he wanted to put a terrible decree on the Jewish people. I don't know, I say again, how far in the medieval times it took place years ago. A rabbi had to go defend the Jewish people. He said, you come and you send a rabbi to defend the Jewish people. And again, I forget, a big tzaddik told this representative of the Jewish people, explain the king the following, and he will not hurt you, but not only that, he will walk away respecting you. Tell him the following. If someone hurts a finger, if someone will bruise a knee, if someone has injured a toe, isn't the whole body affected? The whole body is affected. You can't walk properly. You can't move this bone properly, right? Any limb. Let's say an eye. Let's say an ear. Any limb. The whole body is affected. It works in unison. Ask the king, what happens if a peasant in your community suddenly becomes ill? Does the whole country pray for him? Is he on the list of a refuah shleima? If a Jew is in trouble and he's lost, we don't know if we can find him. The whole community is out looking for him. They don't even know his name. In your community, if a poor person is suffering, he's impoverished, do you take care of him? Is it the community? All, let's say if it's an Italian, all the Italians are concerned about him. And so on and so forth. If it's a Spanish peasant, is all of Spain going mashuga trying to pray for him? That's the meaning. Atim kriyam Adam. You are called Adam. The Jewish people are called Adam. Because in that context, we all care for each other. We're all concerned with each other. We pray for each other. We are hurt on account of each other. And therefore, like an Adam, is all considered one. And one limb is not different than the other. We all feel the pain. The same is with the Jewish people. Atem kuyim Adam. You are called Adam. Vehem loy kuyim Adam. But they, the goyim, are not called Adam. Because they don't have the reaction. They don't feel the same. When the rabbi presented that to the king, who was anxious and eager to pounce upon the Jewish community with evil decrees and so who knows what, admitted that he, the representative, was right and that he was wrong.
Is it in the final form of the Talmud today? I'm not so sure, because there's actually verses from
at the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, the Daz Hakeinu Bali Taisis, that says a beautiful mashal. It's a mashal of an old man.
He actually wrote it as is, and those verses got transplanted.
Sitting at the fork roads, of two roads going in two completely different directions. The famous marshal, but I'll say it because it's appropriate. The rabbi or the man, the old man, goes ahead and says, the road to the right, if you're looking to get to the next city, is the road you take.
Some things are biblical sources.
The road to the left will bring you nowhere but dangerous animals and robbers. I know the road to the right looks very, very unpaved, very difficult to walk upon, but in an hour or two it'll smoothen itself out and it'll lead you to a paved road directly to the city where you have to go. The road to the left looks paved, looks beautiful, it's for miles, but it'll make a sudden turn, it'll go into a dangerous forest, and then without notice there'll be a cliff, and there'll people who went there and never made it anywhere because they fell off the cliff. It is a place where robbers hide out looking for their victims, animals roaming the whole area because it's not a place where people are populated. And therefore the old man says, I advise you, you go to the right and not to the left. So naturally there are always two groups of people. The group to the right will go and say, after all, why would the old man mislead us? He claims that he went on both, and he wants us to please to go on to a road that's safe. It's true that the road to the right is very bumpy and uneven. It is full of obstacles and hurdles, but nevertheless, we're going to really go to the right. And therefore, eventually, they go to the right, and they end up arriving at their destination. The road to the left, people refuse to listen. If the people refuse to listen to the road to the left, and they end up nowhere, they end up getting killed or being robbed or hurt by dangerous animals, and they do not end up in a very happy ending. Moshe Rabbeinu is the old man at the road, and there is a choice. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I'm giving you a choice to the right and to the left. If you go to the right, now mitzvahs are not easy. There's a lot of difficulties and hurdles. Mitzvahs are presented with challenges. But at the end of the day, it's smooth and easy. It is comfortable and it is enjoyable. The road to the left is not at all. And therefore, the road to the left is an aveira. To do an aveira is always easy. To do an aveira is always cute and it's paved. It's always enticing. But at the end of the day, you suffer forever and ever. So let's conclude this parsha. Parshas Nitzavim. It's a parsha of Hachana, preparing for the Yom HaDin. Moshe Rabbeinu was the role model to teach us to care about other people. He's the old man standing at both roads. We're supposed to try to learn from his example to take the road to the right, that is Torah and mitzvahs, and avoid the road to the left. And with that, we'll be zocha this coming year to have a kesiva, for kesima tova, for us and all of Bnei Yisrael.